traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. This is Scott Miller coming to you live from Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village in Delray Beach, Florida, and Palm Beach Downs. It's great here. Summertime's here, 4th of July weekend. A lot of people were here, you know, having their barbecues and getting together and kind of the last big get-together before, our summer season starts to wind up in the show horse industry, in the racehorse industry, and in the sales. It's just, you know, it's that time of year. It's going quick. You know, like I tell everybody, I said, you know, heck, summer is half over. 4th of July is here. You know, how tall is the corn out there in the field? That's what we want to know. But with the horse business here, we got a lot of things that are starting to, you know, really get focused and poke, right to the point. If you go to the website, ientv.org, we got at the wire. It's live. It's coming up really good racing everywhere, a little rain here and there. We got the first race at Monmouth Park is coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll have that on there. And then we got Gulfstream Park. We got other tracks that are becoming there. We're getting ready for Saratoga to open on the 11th of July here. They open early. They had a big meet at Belmont, the Belmont Stakes Day, so that was good. I tell you, it's just getting better and better and better. We got a lot of good horse shows coming up. The Olympics are coming up, and we've got that. I'm excited about that. I know quite a few people that are getting ready to go from here in the States, and they're excited. It'll be their first time there, so that'll be good. If you go to Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village Weekly, you'll see Brandon Mills and Frank Papa. They're presented an art show here. Artists are really getting into the horse business, and they come out here to Sunshine Meadows and they paint and they take pictures and have all kinds of crafts, you know, that they have. And also, that's good. That's a nice little piece that we did there. And then our equestrian of the week, it's Becky Mooney's Journey to the Top. Very excellent show horse person. And that's a good little piece there. And then I made our equine business of the week, Saratoga Racetrack. Saratoga Racetrack stepped up when Belmont Park shut down to rebuild their track. Naira, of course, runs Aqueduct and Belmont and Saratoga. But let me tell you something. They outdid themselves this year. I'm telling you, it was amazing. They sold every seat in the house for the 4 days of racing there. And what I like about our communities that are getting together in the horse industry to bring us a good product. And they realize that the horse industry has realized that they just can't stand on the horse industry alone. Like a Kentucky Derby, yeah, you know, and Belmont and the Preakness and the Breeders' Cup, they pretty much stand on their own. But this time, Saratoga, the city of Saratoga and the state of New York and Naira came together to alleviate a problem. They needed to get a new racetrack built at Belmont, and you can't build a new racetrack, you know, just overnight. And the engineers came in to Naira and told them, said, look, for what you want to have done here and the sporting venue that we're going to build you, it'll take 2 years to get done. So, you know, they said, well, what do we do? Well, Naira stepped up and they offered the Belmont Stakes for the first time ever to be outside of Belmont, Saratoga Racetrack. And so Saratoga Racetrack is not configured to where they can run a mile and a half. So they backed it down to a mile and a quarter, which, you know, the horsemen, they didn't care, you know. They did, but they didn't care. But it gave a lot of other horses opportunity to run at a mile and a quarter like they did in the Derby. And a lot of the big stake races coming up now are a mile and a quarter. And so it fits right into their training program. So that was good. But for the next 2 years, Belmont will be run at Saratoga. And so everybody's happy about that. And this is one of the reasons, many, many reasons why Saratoga is a good place to hold horse racing. And I mean, the Adirondack Mountains, I mean, it's just a beautiful place. You know, it's a good family vacation. So, you know, if you're wanting to go on a good vacation, you know, Saratoga's the place to go. You got the horse racing, you got a little bit of everything there. But one of the things that I really enjoyed when I went up to Saratoga every year, did that for many years in a row, and just really did like it. Saratoga Spa State Park. You know, I believe that this is one of the best kept secrets in the Saratoga area. Even the locals, you know, are frequently, they go to it frequently to there. There's so much to do at the park, especially if you're headed to the races during the afternoon. You can come over in the morning and just walk around the nature trails. You can play golf in one of the best public facilities I've ever been at. And then it's really a great place to go. Then you can sneak up to one of the pools, one of the hot spring pools they have there. I believe the Victoria pool is one of the better ones. The Vegas pool is really nice. And, you know, it's a great state park to go to there. And this is all in the city of Saratoga now. You got to remember this. And it's all within, you know, short driving distance, walking distance, or bicycling. A lot of people bicycle when they get to Saratoga. Even one of the things that I never did like, because I thought it was a kind of a girly thing, it was the Performing Arts Center. Oh, man, it's called SPAC, and Saratoga Performing Arts Center, and it is unbelievable. The things that they have there is just unbelievable. They have all kinds of different things that they bring there. They had, the year I was there, they had the 1812 Overture, and it was outside, and as we were laying on the blankets and having our drinks and our little snacks and everything, they're playing the 1812 Overture. Well, when they got to the battle scene, all of a sudden we hear these cannons start going off on the right and left side of us, and they were real military cannons, and that's what they did to get you involved in the feeling of the music of the 1812 Overture. I mean, it was really, it was really something there. I like that. Then they have the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame. It still baffles me how many of the locals have not been to the National Museum of Racing and the Hall of Fame. And the reason I say that is because here at Sunshine Meadows, we have a multitude of people that come in every year and say they never knew that this was a horse facility. They said, we see the sign that says Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village, but then that's when they stopped thinking. And they thought it might be just condos, you know, condominium outfit is what they thought it might be. You know, and I was surprised at how many people that have not been here, you know, to see Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village. And even some of our new paramedics and firefighters, you know, they didn't know this was here, but it's really different, you know, to see. But this might be the best shrine to the sport outside of Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. This museum is just phenomenal. They got everything that you could want to know about the thoroughbred industry, the Hall of Famers, the great horses, the great people, and just the full-blown, you know, spectrum of the horse industry. You know, just what it means to people and to the people that are into it. And you don't have to be a horse, you know, a horse expert to go to it. A lot of entertaining things in there. You can see a starting gate, see what it looks like, what they come out of. They got all kinds of movies and you know, just any and everything that you need to know about the horse industry. They'll be able to see, you know, you'll be able to see that. And who knows, you might even see me there. You might even see D. Wayne Lucas there, Jerry Bailey, Chad Brown, Shug McGahee. You might see some of the biggest, Bob Baffert. You might see some of the biggest people in the business there. And that's what I really like about it. It's a great place for a family to go to and see and really educate you. And if it were me, I would go to the Hall of Fame before I go to the races. because that would enlighten you on what you're watching and how you, you know, how to watch it and who the people are. But I'd go to the Hall of Fame first, you know. In fact, what I'd do if I'm perfect day at Saratoga, I would suggest is you go over and take the backside tour. You have the breakfast at Saratoga. And you go out and you can have a nice breakfast. You sit out there and watch the horses train, meet some of the trainers and the jockeys out there. Then when you get done with breakfast, you can go over to the Hall of Fame and take the tour of the Hall of Fame. It's just right across the street from Saratoga. Just a short little walk, and then go through the Hall of Fame, and then you could come back over to the track, and you could have lunch and watch the races, and it makes for a great day, a great family day that's there. Another thing, if you want to get away from the horses and just rest and relax, you can take a 40-minute drive north of Saratoga, and you can get up to Lake George. I'm telling you, it's really a place to see. You have Bolton Landing area up there in Lake George. There's a great little downtown with a lot of fine food shops and drinks and all kinds of, you know, tourist spots that they have there. The outlets, you can get all kinds of discounted, name brand, products there at the outlets. It's really good, you know, to go up there. That's up at Lake George, and they got good lunches, and they got a good spot to hang out, you know, just to see what all's going there at Saratoga. You can visit the Battle of Saratoga. If you're, my cousin Jeff would just love this. Up there, it's Battle of Saratoga. It says if you are looking for something to do in the morning before the races, head to the Saratoga National Historical Park. This is a site and it's one of the most divisive American victories and the entire Revolutionary War. It tells you all about what happened there and how they did it. And believe you me, when you get up there, the guy that talks a lot better than I do. He'd tell you what it really is. You know, you feel like you've been there. You know, it's a great place, you know, to see the hotels and the cottages and everything there. It's a history book that's just comes to life, you know, and they're very good at what they do. Then they have in Saratoga, they have downtown. I love it there in the downtown. They get a little bit of everything. you know, this is sad to say, but it says at Saratoga Springs, they had more bars per capita than anywhere else in the United States. And that's the truth. That's a fact. Now, that's scary, isn't it, when you think about it? It's like every person that lives in Saratoga pretty much has their own personal bar, you know, but the food is really great. The bagels are great. You got a lot of little shops and restaurants there. And what I like about it is in the morning, about 8:30, if you get there, you can get a seat outside on one of the outdoor cafes, that they have. It's really nice to sit out there and you can have a coffee and bagel and see the cars go up and down the streets. And you'll see a lot of movie stars and you'll see a lot of athletes and you'll see a lot of horse people and just regular people, you know, that are there sitting on the outdoor cafes. And that's really a nice thing to go to. But, you know, it's comparable to, Cooperstown and you got a lot of places there. And then a little bit further north, of Saratoga. It's a 2-hour drive, but you can go up to Lake Placid and it's unbelievable. You can see where they had the Olympics and how they skied there. And, you know, so they got a little bit of everything in Saratoga. That's what I like about it. Saratoga, they've got something for everybody up there. Shoot, if you go up there, you can get educated, man. You have some good book learning and on-hand learning up there. The Bearmont at Saratoga was huge success this year. It was just amazing what they did, and it shows you how horse people come together, you know, to get a product done. I was just totally stunned this year by it. You know, the four day meet that they had, they did $197.4 million. You know, it was just unbelievable. you know, what they did, you know, betting wise. And then the day itself, the food was good, inexpensive. And when I say inexpensive, it's not like it was, you know, like it is in most places. They were expensive, but you know, you got your money's worth. That's for sure. So, you know, that just goes to show you that, of course, people are thinking about the people, you know, as well as, you know, needing to make their money. But it was a great 4-day deal, good racing, good stake races, quality horses, good weather. The weather was really good. You know, you couldn't ask for anything finer than that. But it was a true success. And I'll tell you what's going to happen next year. They already start to sell seats and box seats and all the things for next year's Belmont at Saratoga. And one of the things that I liked about it, and I tried to tell people, they were telling me, oh, well, it's expensive to go to, you know, to go up there. And then I told them, I said, look, I said, here's the deal. When you go to Saratoga and you go to the Belmont, the first time it's ever been held outside of Belmont, New York, you get something. You get a program, you get a couple Belmont glasses, a couple of programs, you know, some memorabilia. And then next year, you go back and you got the second Belmont that's going to be at Saratoga. And you get the program and you get the glass and you get the souvenirs and you get everything. So now, sitting in your house on display, you have the first ever Belmont that was held outside of Belmont, and all the souvenirs. And then you have the last Belmont in 2025 that would be held at Saratoga. So the value of those products that you get when you're up there is unbelievable, because in 2026, the Belmont goes back to Elmont, New York. So you'll have a unique an item that, you know, only the people that were there have it. You know, and so that's a great way to start your, you know, your collection of horse racing, or, you know, the horse industry. And then when you go into the 2025 or 2026 Belmont at the new Belmont Park, you all get the glasses and you get the programs and you'll get all the souvenirs. So you got 3 years in a row of unique and unusual, you know, equine treasures that you'll never be able to get again. You know, it's a one-time deal. And so if you plan your next 3 years out going to Saratoga and Elmont, you know, well, I sound like a Chamber of Commerce guy. I don't know. Well, I should sell anything, I think. But, you know, that's what it's all about. And like we always say here at the International Equine Network, it's about equine information distribution. And what we like to do is talk about places like Saratoga, Churchill, Keeneland, you know, Southern Illinois. They got a lot of nice little horse shows there. They got good racing there in Illinois. There's just all kinds of things that, you know, they have. In Kentucky, you know, you got the Kentucky Horse Park. You got, you know, Churchill Downs. You got Keeneland. You got the Derby. You got the 3-day Rolex event at the horse park. You got polo. You name it, you know, in the equine industry, it's there. And what I like about the Kentucky Horse Park is when you go there, just about all the different associations, like the Hunter Jumper Association, the United States Equestrian Federation, polo, you name it, quarter horse, they all have major, major offices there. And when you go there, you can go over to all the offices and you can go in and they can give you pamphlets and books and tell you what all you need to know about their particular part of the equine industry. And then you can kind of like make judgments from there. You can go in to, let's say you go into the USEF office there, and the girls are really good. And what they'll do is they will tell you, you know, if you live in, let's say, Missouri, you know, or North Dakota, they'll be able to tell you what horses, horse shows are there, you know, the different venues and everything. And then you can take that back with you to, you know, wherever you're living at, and you can start going to the equine shows. And like I said, you don't have to know a lot about the horse industry, because the horse industry is the first way to capture the horse industry is with your eye. And usually your eye catches the horse industry, then it catches your heart, and then it catches your brain. And then next thing you know, without owning a horse, you're an equestrian, because you're going to start going to the shows, you're going to start going to the races and to the sales, and you're going to start doing all these different things, and, you know, it becomes a part of your life. And, you know, when you get ready to go on vacation, let's say you're going to Oklahoma. There's a lot of good equestrian things in Oklahoma, you know, that you could go to, or North Dakota, you know, or Kentucky or Florida, New York. You know, there's always something. But it gives you something to do, and what I like about it is it's a family thing. You know, the whole family can go, from the little kids, you know, on up to the big kids. And, you know, we're good in the horse industry. All in all, as industry goes, everybody's pretty good in the industry, with the exception of me. I'm the knothead of the horse industry. And that's what makes me want to get out and tell everybody about what we're doing here. You know, it's great. I love being in the horse industry. I've been in a lot of Kentucky Derbies. I've been around a lot of Derby winning horses and Preakness and Belmont winning horses. And I was very blessed to be working at the stables that I did, because they were the best in the world. You know, and that was nice. And so that's what I want people to do. I want people to come out and enjoy the horse industry, you know, and see what it's all about. And we've got a thing on that I put on there today. It says how horses fly and how they're transported in the air. And I worked for Enstone Air Services for a few years, flying horses over to Asia, and flying them all over the world. I've been to 12 different foreign countries flying horses, and I really liked it. You know, it was amazing to see. Basically, the horse industry is the same everywhere. It's just different people. You know, that's all it is. You know, it's just different people. Everything's pretty much the same. But what I like about this little video that we have there, it's about the horses when they went to the World Equestrian Games. And they're getting ready to get ready for the Olympics to go to France. And if you go on there and see how horses travel to, you know, to the different places in the air, it'll really make you appreciate what they're doing over in France and how they got there. Which how they got there is part of our documentary that we'll talk about a little bit later. But it'll show you exactly how they travel, how big the planes are, how many horses they can get, you know, in a plane. Usually it's about 60. You can go a little bit above that, but most of the time, weight-wise and people-wise, they have to travel with the horses. It usually ends up being about 60 horses. Now imagine 60 horses in an airplane flying over your head every day. We got them flying all through the country, you know, with going from track to track, coast to coast, country to country, and everything. So that's something to look at there. I think you really enjoy it. And then too, you know, you don't think about it, but when you're traveling up and down the road and you see these big 18-wheelers, you know, they got 8 to 10 horses on them. They got some equipment in there and some handlers in there with it. They travel pretty good. It takes about 12 to 14 hours, you know, to get from out of Florida up into Kentucky, you know, in South Carolina and North Carolina. And, you know, it does that. But that, yeah, it's a good little piece there that you can look at. And then if you really start liking the horse industry, the best thing that I have on my website is called Quick Links. Quick Links is the greatest thing that ever came out for the horse industry. It covers every need that a horseman meet has. We got Trivago.com on there. Get you a hotel anywhere you need to go. If you need to go to the showgrounds, the racetrack, the farms, it'll get you within miles of your destination. I guarantee it. Trivago is really good, and they got great, great prices. The best that I've seen so far. And then when you're out traveling and everything, you need to know the weather. We got weather.com on there, and you can click on the weather.com and you can find out what the weather is like where you're going. And more importantly, you can find out where the weather is all the way to where you're going. You know, if you're going up to New York, you're going to find there that they'll give you the weather in South Carolina, North Carolina, Maryland, Delaware, Pennsylvania, you know, all wherever you're going on your trip. That's really good. And then, so you don't get lost, we got MapQuest. This MapQuest is really good. It tells you where to go, how to get there, the best way to get there. You know, if the traffic's heavy, if there's problems, MapQuest has it all. And what I like about it is you can also get the truck, and trailer, click on truck and trailer in there, and you can find out what it's like, because I had this experience happen to me. I was going from Ocala, Florida. I was going up to Pennsylvania, up to Ole, Pennsylvania. And I'm telling you, when I started headed up that way, and I said, oh, you know, I'm following, you know, MapQuest, and I'm going on. And then all of a sudden, what happens? I get to a place where I can't get my trailer through the bridge. Too small. Bridge is too small for me. Man, I didn't know what to do then. And then if I would have looked on my MapQuest and if I would have read the instructions like I should have, I would have realized that there was a different map quest for trucks, truck routes. And it tells you, you know, how to get there, what bridges are low, where there's construction. I like that part about it. You know, it just really helped me out all the way, you know, everywhere you go. And I drove a lot more relaxed after I learned how to use the MapQuest. My trips were a lot easier, a lot better. I didn't have to worry about what was coming up, you know, where there was gas stations, where there wasn't. And so that, you know, really helped me, good peace of mind. And then I have ship.com on there, ship.com. They deliver from local grocery stores in whatever area you're at. You just put in a zip code, and they'll say, well, we've got a Kroger's, a Publix, a Winn-Dixie, you know, a ShopRite, a Price Chopper, you know, whatever wherever you shop at. You know, they have it right there. And what I like about it is you go online, you order your groceries, and they deliver to wherever you're at, whether you're at a horse show, you know, a horse farm, a racetrack, a hotel. When I was in the hospital, they even delivered to me in the hospital. I didn't realize they could do that, but they did. And so that made me feel a little better. But when you're out on the road and you know, time is money. Time is that you could be spending with your horses or your family or your friends. And if you can take an hour or so out of your day, and you don't have to spend any gas to do it because they're bringing it to you, and they bring it to you at the prices that are on the shelf, just like you were getting into the store. And they usually deliver within an hour or two of after you order. You know, you can pick out a time you want the delivery, and they'll deliver it to you. And so that's ship.com. And then naturally, you got to have Walmart. So Walmart delivers food too. They deliver everything. But what I like about Walmart is they got any and everything there that you could need, you know, at a Walmart. So, and everybody knows what a Walmart is. And they deliver right to the barn, to the track, to, you know, wherever you're at, your hotel room or wherever you're at. And what I like about Ship and Walmart, they're pretty much the same, you know, deals with them. If you ever need medications, that's what I like. You can get your meds through those two companies delivered right to you if you run out. So, you know, that's really a unique thing there that we have here in the horse business. Then, of course, we got good old farm hallway feeds over here. Farm fresh right to you, to the farm. They mix your feed the way you want it and what you need, and then they deliver it to you. They can drop ship anywhere in the world. And your horse never gets off his feed, you know, and that's great, you know, that you can do that. You can ship all the way to Japan, and, you know, you're getting the same feed in Japan as you are here in the States, because that's what they do. It's a family-owned and operated place in Lexington. You can just call them up, you know, or go to hallwayfeeds.com, and they show you what all they have. And they got good experts there that can tell you if your horse is off his feed, not eating. You know, and there's just all kinds of things they can tell you. And that's a hallway feed. So they'll take real good care of you. And then, I don't know why, I always get into this. We have Flying Turns International. It's about the standardbred industry. And I really do like like Flying Terns. And I named the show Flying Terns because Steve Wolf and I did the show with Ellie Cerama up in Freehold, New Jersey. And we were sitting there talking one day, and I said, Steve, I said, man, they're flying around this track like there's no tomorrow. And he said, yeah. He said, you know, they call this Freehold Flying Terns. And I said, well, why do they call them Flying Terns? He said, it's the fastest half-mile track in the country. And he said, it just got nicknamed Flying Terns, and so that's what we named the show. And our first shows that we were doing, we were putting together along with, now this dates people and goes way back, with Roger and Bill Schwing of the Mizzlou Sport Network. They're the ones that did all the camera work and all the things that we needed for them to do there at Freehold. And that the Mizzlou Sport Network was literally the first ESPN. And they did stock cars, and then they started getting into racing, and then they kind of, you know, got ate up by ESPN and NBC, Fox, and people like that. But that's how we got Flying Terns. And the one we have on there today, this thing is a head-to-head with the leading harness racing owner, Kevin Seymour, over in Europe. And they talked to him about how he buys horses and how they breed horses and where they race and what they do. And it's really a good piece right there. It's called Head to Head with Kevin Seymour. And it's really good. You'll like it. You know, and like I say, you don't have to know a lot about the horses, but it entertains you, that's for sure. And then the weekly program I started, and it was a funny thing how this all started. I was out of work. I was homeless, having rough times. And my cousin Jeff Williams down here, and I know Jeff's going to get mad because I said Jeff Williams. But no, my cousin Jeff, they had me staying there with them at their house here in Florida. And I started out on a balcony on a picnic table-like and putting this thing together. And I was getting the suntan and enjoying the Florida life and, you know, putting this thing all together. And that's really kind of what, you know, gave me the boost to get this thing done. You know, so I'm always grateful to him and Debbie and Holly and Lauren and Stephanie for, you know, helping me there with it. But on here, it's IEN Rough Cut. It's how IEN started. And this film, the first little film there, shows exactly what my concept was, what I wanted to do. I wanted to do the show horses, Quest for Equine Gold, At the Wire, Thoroughbred Races, Last Call, Sales was in that little first segment that we have in there, American Quarter Horse, Quarter Time. Then we had Chucker, which is Polo. So that first little segment there, the introduction to IEN, is pretty much everything that we do on the programs now. And I really liked it. You know, it was good. With Polo was good. You know, everything that you want to know about the horses, you know, is on the show. And then, so my next step was to go to Keeneland because I'm a thoroughbred guy. And I went to Keeneland, and a friend of mine, Anna Seitz, she's a good announcer, good horse person. Her dad's a great horse person. So we're at Keeneland, and we're following a horse called Reddy's Echo. And he had run third in the Belmont, and then they laid him off due to an injury. And so they were bringing him back, and this was his debut, as they say, from being laid off. And to see, and if you want to see if he wins, go to Keeneland, put a show together, and you'll see how it happens. And what I liked about what we did there, we interviewed the owners, we interviewed the jockeys, the trainers. We did everything there, walked through the crowd. And this is really a piece that puts you right in with the crowd in the saddling paddock, in the winner's circle, you know, next to the jockeys, the owners. Technical difficulties here. You know, we're always experiencing those here in Florida about this time of year, but we're working on that. And like I said, next week we're going to have, all this is going to be, all the video you see on IENTV.org, all those videos are going to be playing. We'll have nothing but videos. It'll be an hour-long video fest next week. But like I said, the Florida horse is really a good piece. It tells you exactly about how the horse business got started here, about the what a Florida cracker is. It tells you about that. And, you know, just how we go here in the horse business, you know, that's really good, you know, for us to do. Then we have a girl here, her name's Sarah. She's on Team MVP. She's a quarter horse person, and she tells you exactly what she had to do to get to the top of the quarter horse industry. The decisions she had to make, you know, whether to, you know, go ahead and press forward and be broke, or go ahead and press forward and be the top of the, you know, top of the AQHA. It's really a good little piece, and it gets down to good interview to, with her on there. And then, of course, naturally, we got the International Equine Report, radio, TV, and YouTube, via bbsradiotv.com. They're really good. They're like IN, but only they do it to the radio industry and TV industry. They got everything, man. And they got good announcers. They got good everything. They got church services. You name it, they've got it. And you got crazy people in there that, you know, might believe in UFOs and all. So it's good entertainment. It really is. It's real good entertainment. It's first class. And you know, all you got to do is go to bbsradio.com and click on whatever you're looking for, and they got it right there. And tell them Scott sent you in there. But so you know, we're looking at those things. Quest for Equine Gold is coming up here. We got equestrian eventing. And this segment on Quest for Equine Gold it explains equestrian eventing. What they do, what eventing is, you know, it's dressage, it's Grand Prix jumping and cross country. It's a real good piece. And a lot of things that we have here, if you come to it and watch it, you know, and then you can call into, IEM at, 561-690-8813, or go to MSMEquine24 at gmail.com. You know, you can ask questions, or you can even call in here to us. You can call in here to us and see what we got. Our call-in number here is 323-744-4831. And, you know, we can talk to you about what all's going on. You know, the whole nine yards. Ask any questions, you know, we'll tell you. You know, we'll tell you. But that's really a good thing. It's about the Paris Olympics 2024 coming up here in another 3 weeks that they'll have. And it explains to you exactly what eventing is. And it'll make it a little easier for you to watch. And like say, you don't have to be a horse person, but it gives you a little bit of knowledge, you know, so that you're watching it and you know what to be looking for. And before you know it, three or four times watching intv.org, you'll become an expert. Then you can order anything you want. You know, and do anything you want, you know, in the horse business. Order it right up, you know, just go and tell them, I want to go to see the Olympics. I want to go to see the Derby. You know, we got all that information here. And then we have a thing that I really like. It's the FEI Dressage Nation. It's the Grand Prix Freestyle. And what I like about this is dressage horses. And that's not a natural gait, like thoroughbred running or trotter pacing and trotting. That's a real, you know, that's a real gait for a horse. But dressage has to be acquired and it has to be taught to the horse and to the rider. And it's amazing what they go through and how they go through it just to get where they get. And when they're dancing to the music, there's nothing prettier than seeing those dressage horses dance like that and the riders. You know, it's probably the classiest of all equine sports that are out there. But that's our 0 to 10 is the name of that. And I named it 0 to 10 because 0 to 10 is how they score the horses in dressage. You can get anywhere from a 0 to 10. And we show everything in between. From 0 to 10, we show it all. It's a intv.com or .org. I mean, sorry about that. I'm getting you all messed up. And then I tell you, this one, We've had quite a few polo segments on here in the last couple of years. This might be one of the best polo shows that we've done. It's Polo Dreams, and it talks about a certain polo player, how he's trying to become a good polo player, and he's very talented. And when he first started out, they told him that, you know, and he knew that it's going to be a tough road to go to get up to that top level polo that you see all around the world, like you see in West Palm Beach and, you know, out on the West Coast, you know, out there and out in Europe and all these different places, you know, that you can go to out there. But it's a good, interesting story, and it tells the kid's strength. And it shows you how he started working, cleaning stalls, and then he takes it from there. But tune in to see it, and you'll see exactly how he finishes up. It'll blow your mind. You know, all through the whole thing, you just don't think it's going to happen. But, I mean, go to it and watch it. It's a good show. Then we got Last Call, and I named it Last Call for quite a few reasons. All through my life growing up, we'd go to the sales and, you know, I'd be with owners and trainers and they would buy horses and then I'd transport them back to the farm or to the track or to wherever they were going. And so at Keeneland, quite a few years ago, they started the phone. You could call in on a phone and make bids. And what that did is that gave the owner, the potential owner of the horse, the chance to be a significant part of purchasing the horse. And not only did he sign the check that buys the horse, but he put in, you know, the bid on the horse. So they liked that. And then as modern technology came along, they ended up, you know, with the internet, and that became a big thing, you know, going online to buy horses. So, you know, we have there, and then the auctioneer at Keeneland, he would talk to these guys out there, and he said, okay, you know, Charlie, and he's going through his auctioneer, you know, lingo, and he says, do we have a bid from the four? Yes, they did. And then he'd ask, you know, a specific guy, he said, Charlie, do we have a bid from the telephone? And so, yeah, they did. So then the internet came in, and so now he has to add to what he's talking about, the phone, in-house, or the internet. And so I said, you know, I said, that'd be a good name for the show, Last Call. Where does the last call come from, the phone, the internet, or in-house? So that's how that became. And so we got the July selected horses of racing age coming out on July 8th, which is, you know, coming up Monday, I think it is, right? And have that. It's a good sales. And what I like about that sale is you can literally go in there and buy you a horse from that sale, and the horses of racing age, and some of them are still in training. You can literally go in and buy a horse out of that sale that's in training, and the next week you could be racing, you know, at down at Ellis Park. You could be racing at, you know, Chicago, Miami, California, because those horses are ready to go. You know, and that's a good deal. You got a chance of really getting your money back pretty quick. You know, so I know a few guys that have done that, and they became real successful, you know, buying those horses in the sales like that. And then, of course, our regular programming show, Flying Turns, up there is coming from Woodbine at Mohawk Park Racing in Canada. They were qualifiers that they had there, and then we had live racing coming there at nighttime from Woodbine. And that's really a good show to watch. Now, mind you, all these shows that we just talked about and all the things that we're doing here, they change on a regular basis. I try to get as many live programming as I can into it, you know, and I try to get those things going. And hopefully, you know, people like what we're doing and go from there. They certainly can call in and let us know if they like it or, you know, they don't have to say anything. And that's one thing I tell the guys. I said, one thing good about the projects I do, you know, especially here on INTV.org, man, let me tell you, people really like them. But they don't listen to me. They don't watch the show. They don't listen to the show. I told the guys, I said, that's the best job in the world for me. I've got no critics. If you got no critics, you got no stress on you. You know, you just get out there and put them up and do my thing every week and then walk away, you know, satisfied and excited, you know that I had a good time and had a good week and really enjoyed it. You know, the only critic I need is myself, and sometimes I'm the worst critic that I could have. You know, but what can you do? But now, the other thing, I got a lot of other things. I'm going to name me a segment on here, other thing. What's the other thing? I was thinking about the tradition in the horse business. It's a pretty big thing in the horse business, the tradition. You know, as far as like the Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont, 3-day Rolex at Lexington, you know, all the different things. The Arc de Triomphe in France, one of the best thoroughbred races in the world. You know, the Hamiltonian. You have all these different races, you know, that we have up there, the Little Brown Jug. And they all have something in common. Even the horse shows, the sales, everything. The backyard horsemen, they all have something in common. And I guarantee you, nobody's going to know what it is until I tell them. And if you call in to our call-in number, I'll give whoever calls in a $25 Apple card, an Apple e-card. Call 323-744-4831. But here's the common theme that's all throughout the horse business: tradition. Tradition. You go and look at them, the same thing year in and year out. Same races. Everybody points to those, and it's like Christmas. You know, when you have your, like the Breeders' Cup, it's Christmas. Belmont, the Pimlico Preakness is special. You know, 3-day Rolex, they're all special. It's like Christmas in your sport. So I started Triple Crown Tradition because everybody puts a lot of stock in that. Nobody's ever really, you know, had a lot of Triple Crown winners except for Bob Baffert, which he's a good trainer, and he deserved what he got. So now I looked at Churchill Downs, and I said, well, what's traditional at Churchill Downs other than the Derby? There's a lot of things. The Derby week, it's 10 days of, you know, partying and parades and fireworks and balloon races, you name it. But what the common thing that all the horse people have, like I said, is tradition. At Churchill Downs, you have Kentucky Burgoo, you have the Mint Julep, and you got barbecue. At Pimlico, you have the same thing. You have, you know, the Preakness drink. You have seafood because it's in Maryland. You know, and you have that. They got their traditions. At Belmont, they've got their own signature drink now that they have there. I can't remember what the name of it is, but they've got that. We're going to detail on how to make those in the segment that I have on there now. All three of these segments, you play the video and you can see what they make and what their things are, you know, what their traditions are. You know, so I said, well, you know, that's pretty good. Let's take this another step forward. I said, we're going to see what we can do with this thing. So I said, well, I was watching a food show one night, and I said, you know what? I believe I'll get an owner and a trainer and a jockey from Churchill Downs, Pimlico, and Belmont. Get an owner, trainer, and jockey from Churchill, and then we're going to have a cook-off. And then whoever wins that cook-off will end up going to the Breeders' Cup for the final cook-off. And we'll do the same thing at Pimlico and the same thing at Belmont. So now we got three people going to the Breeders' Cup to have the Triple Crown Tradition cook-off. And at the end of the day, we're going to have somebody, whether it's an owner, trainer, you know, or a jockey, is going to be the Triple Crown champion of the food cook-offs. And that'll be held at Del Mar Racetrack in 2025. At the Breeders' Cup. And so that's, you know, that's what we're looking for. And that's our tradition. But every breed, every horse people out there, they've got their own traditions. And so that's one of the things that we want to highlight, you know, is how they do that, how that tradition affects, you know, the people of the area. Like at Churchill, they had the hat, the derby hats for women. That was a tradition. It was a big thing for a long time. And it carried over to Pimlico. It carried over to Belmont. You know, it's carried over to all kinds of racing. It's to horse shows, to everything. And they kind of like create their own tradition. And that's what we want to do, is we want to get horse people out there that maybe know a lot about horses or nothing about horses, but you can still kind of create a tradition at your own house, you know, and invite your friends and family over and have your own barbecue, start your own Triple Crown tradition, and kind of go from there. And so that's what we want to see, is people starting these traditions, because it gives you something to look forward to, something to, work at. And let me tell you, I find out when I've got something to look forward to, be it good or bad, you know, it's kind of it sets my mind at ease. I don't like to mow and cut fields anymore, you know, with the tractors and everything, and do paddocks and do arenas. But it's something I don't look forward to, but I'm glad that I can do it. You know, so that's what I like about it. Start your own tradition. Whatever your name is, start your own tradition. And then I tell you, this is the one I'm going to quit on. I'm going to get out of the horse business and never go back if this is a success. And from all indications, I've been told that it's going to be fairly successful. It's just a matter of me getting it done. And I'm the only one that can do it. I mean, I need the technical people, the cameraman, the radio people, TV people. But I'm the only one that knows how it needs to be done, or how I think it needs to be done. But and that could change, but I highly doubt it. It's called How They Get There, the 2025 Kentucky Derby. And so what we do, or what I do, is I go in and I start to take a look about the Kentucky Derby. How do they get there? Well, you got to have an owner. We start out with an owner. Then the owner gets a trainer. Then we go from the trainer and owner. They get a jockey. So now we got the trainer, the owner, and a jockey. And then we get a horse. And where do you get the horse at? You go to the sales. And one of the hottest companies in the business right now is MyRaceHorse.com. They had over 2,500 micro-share owners of Seize the Gray that won the Preakness. And so, you know, that's how people can get into the business. You don't have to know a lot about it. You can just need $100 and you can buy part of a horse. And when you buy part of that horse, that means you get to go to the races, you get to all the amenities of an owner without shelling out $2 million. You know, and it's really kind of exciting. They got good trainers. That's one thing I like about my racehorse. They're top notch of the line. Do it the best. So now you got the owner, the trainer, the jockey, and you got the horse for the sales. Then we're going to find out how they ride on Brooklyn vans, how they get back and forth to the racetrack, how they get to the airport, how they get from the airport to the races, overseas and back here, and do that and everything. And then we talk with Steve Norman, a good friend of mine, one of the best blacksmiths I've ever seen. At Derby time, you always find him under a horse at Churchill getting a Derby horses ready. Then we got Hallway Feeds, best feed company in the world. And when I say the world, I mean the world. They can take their feed and send it anywhere. Then we have the Derby prep races, which I really starting to get into. September, the middle of September, is the first Derby points race. That's the Iroquois at Churchill Downs. And what I like about that is that gives you a race over the track at Churchill before the Derby, and it's under stakes competition. So, you know, you're going to really get something out of it, know what your horse is. And there's 26 of the races, prep races that we have here every time they run a prep race on IENTV.org. And we follow it weekly. We give you Derby standings, point updates. We pass along from the Blood Horse, the Derby Dozen. They're really good about that. And what's funny is the horses that start out in September, you might see 10 or 12 real good horses. And then as the months go on, they go to the wayside. So that's what I like about the prep races. We keep you up to date on all that. And then the decision to run in the Kentucky Derby, let me tell you, man, I've been in this position before around the owners. You know, when you get there, you look at all how the year went, you know, how your horse is doing, if he's healthy. You think about and he's got the points to get into the Derby. If he's got the points to get into the Derby, you know, that really helps expedite the decision to get in. And then, you know, when they finally do make the decision to go to the Derby, it's kind of a double-edged sword. You know, you kind of breathe a sigh of relief knowing that you bought, trained, owned, bred, you know, had a horse in the Derby. You know, that's kind of nice, you know, feeling of success. But then you get on the pins and needles in the 2-3 weeks before the Derby. Every time your phone rings, you want to know if that's a vet or the trainer calling up saying something's wrong with the horse. You know, or if that's, the weather people letting you know that, hey, you know, the 10-day forecast before the Derby, you know, what's that going to be like? That's the tough part about it, is making that decision. But yet again, you know, when you make the decision, you sit back and then you kind of enjoy the last 10 days getting up to the Derby. Of course, you're working hard, diligently working hard every day. But then you kind of get to enjoy a few of the Derby parties, you know, and that type of thing. And then, you know, on that first Saturday in May, we have the Kentucky Derby. And we see if any of the horses that we follow on how they get there, the 2025 Kentucky Derby, is in it. If they do, do they win it? You know, so that's what we do with that. And also, but, you know, like I said, I run along here a lot confusing you. You know, one thing about the way I bring this program to the public, I confuse you so much and everything, you're going to scratch your head and says, hey, let's go see what he was talking about. See if he was right. And the next thing you know, we got a lot of people coming out here to Sunshine Meadows, Palm Beach Downs, and Keeneland, and Churchill, and Pimlico, and Belmont, Saratoga, you name it. Okay, folks, I rambled enough, had a little technical glitch there, but the guys got me over that, so we're good to go. And we'll see you next Friday at 2:00 on bbsradio.com.